Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast, where we're going to be exploring above and below the surface. We'll take in a deep dive into the world of fishing, diving, and surfing. Every week, we're going to sit down with experts to learn more about them and get their freshest, hottest takes on all things salty. Welcome back to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast. I'm your host, Kieran Anderson, and we have David Cohen back on with us. David, how the heck are you, dude?
Outstanding, man. I couldn't be better. Tarpon season just has sprung, so I'm on an extra. He got me on a good day. It's been the last 2 weeks or so has been outstanding, but yesterday really kicked off big fish week, so it's perfect timing.
That's still my goal. I want to get a tarpon so bad. I haven't gotten one.
We got it. We're going to get you on anytime, brother. Anytime you're here from February till it's literally year round, but July, these big fish are here. So
that's insane. Okay, wait. First off, for the people that don't know you, David, give us a little overview on yourself, where you're from, and what you do.
All right. So my name is Captain David Cohen. I do SoFlo Inshore Charters out of Miami. I'm a strictly tarpon and snook guide. Been doing it for 30 years. Not full time, but it's been my water, my home waters for that long. I'll do that. I do it full time. So right now you could come. Yesterday we got a 150 or so and 100 pounder to the boat, both of them. So yeah, and it's been good. It's been a good season so far, and that's what I do full time. It's love it. Couldn't do anything else. Couldn't imagine anything else ever.
I love it, dude. I love your enthusiasm. You're such a frother too. I love talking to you because you're so psyched on fishing and just being outdoors. It's so good. Living the salt life. What have you been up to beside fishing?
Beside fishing? Oh my God. it really does consume my life. Like you see my eyes, like you see on TV, like what do I do besides fishing? A little bit of social, but growing the business and fishing. If I'm not fishing with charter clients, I'm fishing. I'd love to say I'd have a lot more going on as far as going out, the social life, but I live and breathe. I am salt life to the core.
Like, I love
you
it.
Know, that's I live there. I mean, my hands, if you could, they show it. but yeah, I just got done fishing with Jeff, which has been a dream of mine. I've been on
sick
the team I saw now almost 8 years, which is awesome. So blessed. Love Salt Lake. And I never got a chance to fish with him. I've always wanted to put him on a tarpon, and I got him on his first tarpon about
what?
2 weeks ago. Yes, yes.
He got, when was caught this? Five,
yeah, two we weeks caught five ago? Snook. About 2 weeks ago, yeah, we caught five snook, a couple slots, brought home for dinner, one of them. I don't usually do that, but it was early in the season, and why not? But it was a good – I made the best of – it wasn't the best that particular day because we have these cold fronts that come in, and it gets them persnickety. They add some kind of attitude. If it drops below 55, 50, the water temps get 65 degrees in there. They could be have an attitude. But we made the best of them and got them with the cold weather temps. So it was – and some snook. But yeah, now it's been the last 2 weeks have been just the water temperatures warmed up and, they're eating readily, which makes my job a lot easier, the client, the relationship. And it's what I live for. So, I'm going tomorrow. I got a trip and should be psyched. These people went last year and, within true story, about 10 minutes of the trip, double hooked up on triple digits. So they both caught triple digits at the same one hooked and another one. So it's the time of year where they're biting.
Yeah, how is the fishing right now in Florida, and how's the weather been?
The weather, it's been, like I said, it's been the coldest winter we've had in 4 or 5 years, which has made offshore, inshore so difficult on, I do both. I do for fun mutton snappers, groupers, which I did last week as well. I did some mutton fishing, and we caught a couple, but it was just slower because of the temps, and it's just been a later season. So, yes, it's been – everybody's been struggling because of the coldness, and they're like us, these fish in South Florida. They're warm-watered fish, and they want to – you know, they want to eat when they're happy, not, you know, metabolism slow, and they're just like us. So, but now it's warm, and everything is sprung. Like, I could just see offshore. My buddy just went out the same – place we went 2 weeks ago for the muttons and got a couple, he caught 10 muttons. So the offshore is on. The sailfish bite has been ridiculous last week with the – that's going to taper off because of the – but the cold, the sails were on fire. These guys were getting 30, 40 sailfish in a day. Yeah. In
that's
Miami.
Insane.
In Miami. Like more than like a half a dozen boats got 30 fish, which is – You know, insane. Yeah, you didn't know that much. You could just be kind of in the dabbling in the game, just start to kite fish, throw out kites, and catch 10 sailfish because they're just...
What?
They started just coming. Yeah, that's unprecedented too. It's a weird season. But yeah, fishing, this is the time, people. For Miami fishing, offshore, inshore, I can't say it's a tremendous fishery all around, and it's happening. Now, March, April, May, best months of the year for everything.
Insane. So, I didn't know
that.
And then
it gets hot, and, you know, it's still fishy, good fishing, but this is, like, still cool, still...
The weather's the best.
It's just the best. It's just, you know, spring's it. So, yeah, man, how you been?
I've been good, man. I've been super good. Just been surfing when I can and getting after it. Fish. I've actually been fishing a bunch, so that's been good. We moved
so good for the mental.
We moved to Corpus Christi area, so I've been fishing red drum and stuff and getting after it and just trying to learn how to fish here. It's so much different than the West Coast, so it's like everything's different. I don't know. It's so much fun though. Like, the fishing here is excellent. I want to get offshore though, but the winds have been so bad here, so I'm just waiting for that specific day to go out to the rigs or go far out, try to get some mahi mahi or whatever I can get. So
that's the best part of the puzzle, is the puzzle of figuring out a new fishery, like tarpon here and there or wherever, and just, you know, putting those pieces together and seeing what works for the same exact fish, but they just act entirely different where they're at. It's wild.
Back to the trip with Jeff. Was it like a whole Salt Life team experience, or who was all a part of that?
Yeah, it was, of course. I met Tati and Laura, Tatiana, and we, it was the experience. All three of us were on the boat, and we went around and hunted for tarpon that were there 3 days before, and they stuck with me because that's what happens. They show up, they're migrating fish, and they'll stage somewhere one day and leave the next a lot. So we had that scenario in the beginning, which got me a little, like anything, I got Jeff, but they're coolest. I love my Salt Life. Immediately, we had hugs, and it was just that connection where it was awesome. But
it's the family.
It's family. It really is. I can't say enough. It truly is. They act like family since day one. Birthdays, whether things going good or bad, reaching out and talking to you, it's family. I could just tell you about the Salt Life team. If you ever get a part of it, amazing camaraderie and just energy connection. Everybody treats each other like their family, even if you just got on or not. It's beautiful. We ended up getting those fish though at the end, the tarpon and the snook, which is so much rewarding. We had to work a little bit for them. It was only 4 hours. It was a little, we fished from, you know, 3 to 8. We had to fish before dark, 7:30, but the last couple hours it turned on and it was high fives and dancing. It'll be on the Salt Life on the YouTube channel, so I know coming out. So that'll be cool. That'll be really cool. I had a great time. Can't wait to take them out though now when it's popping. I only wish it came now this week. It was like, and last week it showed up. I showed Jeff while we're on the water. Check out the date he was there. Check out this. This is why I picked this week. And you could see all the tarpon just to show. He's like, I get it. It's like, and if we pick it a year advance, they show up a week later, which is 2 weeks later. I'm like, ah! But it's the game, you know, it's just, and he gets it. They all get it in the Salt Life.
How long was the trip?
4 hours.
Okay, so you just did one day, 4 hours.
4 hours, yeah. And we got some tarpon and 4 to 5 snook, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, we got it on a random, you know, it was not ideal by any stretch of the condition. But, you know, sometimes you just got to make the best of what you got in the day. And it was there. And then the gods, sometimes they'll throw you a bone. And if not, all you got to do is be prepared. That's what I say with anything. Be prepared. Have all your ducks in a row and then let God, fish gods do their work.
Heck yeah, dude. What about, I mean, specifically for that trip, you're probably more inshore than offshore, but you do a lot of offshore too, right?
No, not my guide. I do a lot of offshore fishing.
Yo, you though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me. Love it. I love the game. Fishing, bass fishing thing, but I do a lot of offshore. Yeah. I did the tournament scene for years. Kingfish, the SKA, billfish, love bottom fishing. Now that's what I dig more than anything, is catching big mutton snappers, groupers, everything, you know, whatever it is, high speed trolling for wahoo or yellow tailing, the specifics and mangrove, anything that, you know, you have to dial into each species and get the right tactics, techniques and hone in. And that's why the fishing is so great.
So offshore gear is so much different than inshore. I mean, your craft, and especially being a captain for being inshore and fishing out for tarp and everything that you're going for, what was your gear for the Salt Life team trip? Were you using like super fun gear, or give me the rundown on the gear and equipment and the bait that you guys used on that trip?
Okay. Yeah. That, and that's everything and everything. So of all offshore, inshore, it's like what tool you bring into the job. And that's it. You don't bring the tool, right tool there, you're at it. You're in trouble already. You don't even know you are. But this is, I'm blessed from like Salt Life and everything I have. I'm sponsored by these IRT reels and black hole rods. I can't say enough about, I've been using them both for 6 years now, only. The reels are anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 size reels like you would offshore, but they've got drags. The smallest models have 35 pounds up to 68 pounds of drag with the 8,000s, which you can, if you ever pulled on fish, and I'm telling numbers, some people say 20, 30, 40, 60 pounds, you're coming over the side of the boat. It's, they're tremendously strong reels. They're meant for bluefin tuna in Japan and a lot of big, just big game fish, which I implement with tarpon, which makes, and they're light enough and they got the components, no plastic components, and it's strong as nails. And the rod is a black hole rod, Challenger blank, which is as well tuna rod. So they're just, they're 66 pounds of drag. There's a video, and it's just, they're very, it's very light, weighs nothing, but very powerful. Could pull a train, you know, back. I mean, that in so many words, but it's strong stuff. 65 to 80 pound braid is what I use. I always go heavier on the braid. Bimini twist to 10 to 20 feet of fluoro. And I used mullet for the trip. Mullet and shrimp and hand-picked shrimp from Christian Bait 'Em Up. Thank you. Love
so
it.
You're super specific with those shrimp then.
Oh, they better be hand. This guy hooked me up because he knew Jeff was coming and they had no shrimp there that day. Thank God. But he saved me the hand-picked slaw prawns from the night before. Had it in a little bin for me. Yeah, he had just, and I said, oh man, I guess I'm doing something right. Because these people are saying, you know, they had my six dozen hand picks where they're the size. Yeah, if you come out there with a snapper strip, you ain't going to get a tarpon. But you got a prawn that's kicking. That's the ticket this time in the wintertime because we have these shrimp runs. But mullet, they don't. I'm a year-round mullet guy. They saw me throw the net and get some mullet, which I can't go without a tarpon trip without mullet because I get them in the wintertime a lot of times. Just a secret. You don't need shrimp. They eat mullet. That's what I got one yesterday on mullet, not a shrimp. But yeah, because it's substantial. It's more food, more offering. A shrimp, if you're a big old 150-pound tarpon, I'd rather eat a piece of – once the water temp is warm. And when it's cold, they don't want to chase down. They'll go with the shrimpies. But yeah, so it's – it was – yeah, they so those are the fish, the rod, reel. You know, I use light drag just to fight the tarpon. I can give you a general synopsis. I'm a light drag guy. So just know that's a big animal that is not coming, just like a marlin. He's not coming anytime soon. Once the rod's hooked, most of the time, 10 times out of 10, it's in the rod holder with me and my clients. I make sure Roddy's the best. So he's got it. Now when he goes off, let him freak out. Let him do his thing and apply pressure with your hand. And that's what I'm very good. I'd like to think through the years of one-on-one coaching of telling them to palm the spool and hold it and letting that fish run when it needs to run and winding down and pulling. And that's how I fight them with light, because if it's a set drag, he's going to jump, freak out, and you're not giving him enough line. Something's going to happen. Snap, pull the hook, something's going to happen. So I kind of do the one-in-one like a fly reel with my clients, which is different, and I love it. I love teaching, and they can implement that with any kind of fishing they ever, any big fish they have on, that kind of style.
Were you specifically going for tarpon and snook this trip, or did you have anything else in your mind?
Tarpon, like, snook. No. I don't mean to sound very bland and la, but that's like Miami inshore, that's it. You know, the tarpon's number one, snook number two, depending if it's a monster. And then Kubera snapper is high on the list as well, but it's can't really target them only certain times a year. In August, in the full moon, the Kuberas will come in. But that's pretty much the main game. But yeah, that's what we're going for. So we tackled both species at hand in Miami. So, you know, what else we could ask for?
What was the biggest one that Jeff got?
It was like 60 pounds. It was a local tarpon, big tarpon, awesome tarpon.
Still
fish.
Insane.
Still insane. Yeah, no, it's, and then until you see it, you know, as much as that's why I get all frantic and I'm frothy nut about it. But when you see it in person, even yesterday I saw it, and no matter how many times you see it, it's a fish that's, I think it's 6 million years old is the modern day, and it's like 10 to 12 million is the ancestor of the tarpon. So there's such an old, just
That is crazy.
I want to. I could show you guys right here. I don't know if I'm throwing this. So I'm not messing with you. This was yesterday. Oh, and I got my Salt Life. So I don't know if you could. So this is yesterday.
Oh yeah, because you have to keep. Oh my gosh, that thing's huge. You have to keep them in the water, right?
Yes, especially I couldn't lift him out of the water. That's,
yeah, dude.
But yeah, man. Yeah, that little slow motion. This is giants.
Epic. It looks like a dinosaur.
It is. It's dinosaur. It freaks you out to this day. It freaks me out. I'm like, I can't wait to go tomorrow. I'm fired up. You know, and then they jump out of the water.
Oh my goodness. Dude, that's insane. I hope everybody listening to this podcast right now is watching the YouTube version. You need to come watch this because this is so sick.
You get fired up about it. It's crazy. So no, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Kieran, I'm going to have my podcast tomorrow. And it's just literally heating up. And this is my job for the next 3 months is, like I said, no other life. You know, 5-7 days a week, tarpon. This is when I make hay and
I love
work.
It. I love it. Give us an introduction on tarpon. Why are they so interesting? I feel like, I don't know. I've always had the mindset that I want to get a tarpon so bad because it's such a unique fish. It's so old, like you said, and they fight like crazy to jump out of the water. Give us a little introduction on these fish, what it takes to tackle these fish and bring them into the boat.
Yeah. So year after year, I can't tell you how much harder, I don't want to tell this about tarpon, but they've gotten harder and harder to catch. Every decade they get harder because they get smarter. And somebody that's just getting into the game, they think it's what it is, but they don't understand how much readily they used to eat. So now just know, once you're going for them, know that's what I just try to wrap your head around. They're really smart. So whatever you've done before, can't do it anymore. And you got to start and listen to the old timers and read. That's what I did. I didn't have social media in my younger, but I read all the books I could read about what people do to catch tarpon. And like Larry Larson and all the old timers that had these books that would just the intricacies of it. But when you approach them, be very cautious. Don't come on top of them, come from a distance whenever you first see them, because they feel you. They feel your presence immediately, whether they act or not. They know you're there and their hair's up and you might not get a bite for a little bit. So that's why I always come in with a trolling motor real quietly, sneak into the spot. They don't know. I try to make it, they don't know what, live well off, GPS off, no pings. They hear, they know. It's like, that's what gets you like, I'm hunting for an elk. I don't hunt. But if I was an elk hunter, I'd be like, they smell me, they know it. And that's what this animal gets for me. It gives me a little something because they're smart. So, and then when you could trick them, then you're like, okay, I tricked something that's really, it's easy. He's a see, I did something here. So once you approach them, now get set up for whatever you're going to tackle them with. Make sure you use long leaders, because they see your braid. So when they're circling around your boat, it's not the little leader, it's not that. They see all that other stuff behind there. So the long, it's expensive. It gets really expensive. You want to go like this, the fluorocarbon. Start like, I use 20 feet a leader. I'll tell this my Salt Life. 20 feet a leader. Nobody, 20 feet of fluorocarbon. Always. Every single rod, 20 feet. So they can't see my braid. You got to do it. If you get less bites if you use 10. I've done it. Been there. I always implement one thing in the system, and if it works, we'll go from there. So you're going to use that circle hooks only for multiple reasons. Main one, the safety of the fish. You don't want a gut hook fish. They'll tend to take the J hook down and they might swim off, but then they'll die and we don't want that. I look at it as a life. That's the main thing for me these days is that, make sure that fish swims away. The fish yesterday that I caught, that big monster, he's like 40 years old. I'm 40 years old. So it's a life. You got to treat it as such. If you're not eating it, letting it go. So I use circle hooks. Try to get them in the boat as fast as you can. Use as heavy leader as you can and get away with based off of the bait you're using, the situation you're at. But the main thing, always know that fish, like I said like earlier, it's very power monster animal. He's going to do whatever he wants in the beginning. So when he jumps, bow to the Silver King, because he gets the air. He's twice his weight out of the water. Now he's buoyant anymore. Now it's 100 pounds, 150 pounds out of the water. If you don't give him that weight, the hook, his circle hook's already his nose. Nothing's going to happen. We hook the fish in the rod holder. You could open the bail and let the line go. He's, most of the time, the hook is going to stay in there. So just know, when he jumps, leap forward, have that bend in the line. So when he falls, and then you can get back on him. So just these basic things. But you got to know when that line's rising, you got to jolt forward. If you're on my boat, I'll be up your butt. I'm right behind you, and I see it lining. Lean forward. If not, I might might grab your arm to pull it forward in the nicest way with a pat on the back, but because I want you to catch the fish. So just know that, you know, you're in for a long, long battle. And what else to know about the tackle? You're using heavy tackle most of the time, unless these are the tarpon I'm talking about. And they range from these monsters, these little 10, 20 pounders, which you could scale everything back. And catch them in dock lights, and that's the best thing about it. You catch them on everything, shape and form, artificials, flies, dead bait, live bait. You know, it doesn't obviously for me, but for most other, I got a general consensus in the captain in the fishing industry that if you're inshore fishing, the Silver King is named it for the tarpon's the tarpon. You know, just
reeling them in
for breakfast.
Reeling them in is pretty gnarly then.
My arm is killing me from yesterday's fit. I wake up and I guide most of the time, but I actually pulled on one of them yesterday, and I was I'm beat up. You know, yeah. Like, you know you fought the fishes. He'll tell you lower back, arm, everything smoked, and then you start making noises about halfway through because you're mentally and physically exhausted, and it's great. I mean, and you say, why do I sign up for this? But after you catch him and let him go, you're like, wow. But there's points in the middle of the end of the battle that it really does. It's a battle of the wills, battle of attrition. Him, and he's got a serious freaking will. So it just shows you, and that could go over to everything else in life. You fight the tarpon, you have to dig parts of you're tired, it's hot, you're sweating, but you want the end game. And you know, it's a great sense of accomplishment when you finally get to
bring them in.
Touch the dinosaur.
I love it. What about the migration of these fish? Like, where are they going?
They come north and come south. Right now, they're going south. And
is that because of warmer water?
For warmer water, that's there's so many. I think water temperature is number one with every fish. I gotta say that's number one. But then it's about staging in certain areas based off of forage or spawning pattern. So they like to mate in certain spots more than others, which I find so fascinating because I've been doing this forever in Miami, and they seem to come to the same areas in the same times. Yes, they miss a month or 2 weeks, but they generally know where to go from the ocean to the backwaters. And that's what's because of all those water temperatures, which a lot of these, they have dredging big holes from buildings and it's deeper, and that's why they stage in those areas, and you got to find out where they're at. But that seems to be why they like to be where they're, you know, in those settings. But yeah, they just generally speaking, it's March 1st right now until the end of June. I know that they spawn offshore, is what I've heard through the UM. I think I might have talked about it on the podcast last time, but
yeah,
if you
maybe,
didn't
yeah.
listen to it last time. But the idea is it's amazing. They're the only fish that don't have to eat for weeks. Every other snapper, like when they're larvae, they have to eat something. These guys just float all the way back into the back country waters because there's no sharks or predators there, stay to like 5 or 10 pounds, and then they come back out
what?
To the ocean. And yeah, it's like how do they know all of this? And their vision's impeccable. That's one thing I have to go over with their better than. So we have two cones. Birds have three cones. They have five cones in our eyes, which refract light, so they could see 100 million colors where we see a million colors.
That's
so they
insane.
See, they have night vision. They have, so when they're looking, and I've seen all, they'll look at a mullet, and the mullet is on the surface, and you'll see the tarpon eyeballing Megalops atlanticus, is their scientific name, Megalops being big eye. So they have this big eyes looking at the hook, and they're like, oh, that's a 5-0. That's a 6-0 instead of a 5-0. We ain't touching that today.
Oh my goodness.
And you're watching it happen. You're like, this is a live fish. I got the light leader size. And you just checked out my bait. And you could see him looking at my bait. And that drives me crazy. I go, damn. You know, but they don't always act like that. Sometimes they'll just eat it readily. But when they want to and they're feeling presence, then they're acting that way. That's just it really gets me into, as passionate I am about it with when it comes and it happens, but when it doesn't happen, it takes the life out of me because I'm trying to figure out crap that I probably can't figure out because it's not me. But it's I love it so much, and that's why it's so rewarding when you do get them. And even when you're on fire, you take it for granted. I do all the time. I'm like, oh, 10 trips in a row, 15 trips in a row, it's easy. And then all of a sudden they become tarpon again, like hard. And then I'm like, why am I prepping? Why are we doing this? You know, I'm going through all this work for what? I know they're going to act this way. And then all of a sudden it'll come together and then they'll act the way that one. And you go, that's why we're doing this. This is why I get up in the morning.
They're intelligent. They're intelligent. That's just how they are. Millions of years old, like you said, dinosaurs, and they're just intelligent. Like they've spent so much time evolving to today that they know everything and they're brilliant. Well, hey, let me ask you this. What was your favorite part of the Salt Life Charter from that day? Or a highlight? Give me a highlight.
I would say a highlight that really got me going is how Jeff got this nice snook, a nice slot snook. And I was looking over to the right, like not paying attention. We didn't get a bite for a few minutes, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes in between. And I was just coaching him up. Every fishery is different of how to fish the bridge and drop it down to the bottom, make sure it's on the bottom, laying natural. And Jeff actually, the first cast on the trip, showed him, and it looked like I showed him what to throw it over there, reel down, couple cranks up off the bottom, hold it there, bam. He in like 30 seconds, he got the first snook. Yeah, well, first cast. So on the video. So he got the snook, but that wasn't the best trip. The next was like went around, and he got that other nice snook, a stud, just over there, and he fought it like a magician because it's right there, the structure's right there. And Jeff's over there doing his thing. I was like, what, you know, and that's where you get that connection of, you know, me and Jeff is when he's getting a nice stud snook. And just, it was cool. And then obviously him hook up with a tarpon is, you know, fighting a tarpon was awesome. A tarpon was a little crazier because he was in a bridge inlet setting, which is running water, and you'll see it's gorgeous, but it's a little treacherous with the tarpon. He's got a mind of his own.
But dude, yeah, that sounds epic.
It was awesome. You know, I can't thank the team enough. They were just so inviting, and it's it's like friends fishing, you know, not rather than, which is should the way it should be, but it felt like that. I can't wait to do it again with whoever it is on the team. But
you have a lot of trips coming up then, huh?
I do. Busy season is arriving. Yeah. So I got a lot of trips, a lot of work coming, which is always so grateful for to do what I do. But yeah, it's good. And the trips come, it's the season, it correlates great. Season in Miami with fishing season is now, and that correlates with the tarpon season, which the fish are here. So thank God that's the way it works, and not, you know, in the wintertime or the fall for that matter.
If somebody wants to book a trip with you, you have a website, right? Or Instagram, like, or
Instagram,
social media and stuff?
Social Instagram. Media, capped, C-A-P-T, David Cohen, and go on my DM and slide in my DM, and there's spots open the next few months, but it'll be really good. I can't say enough. And you know, just like everything, the fish are here, and every tarpon guide will tell you this, and I learned this. I used to hear it but not understand it as much. The older you get, maybe the tarpon might not be as frequent and as happy, and they evolve, but we get better. We understand how to coach. We understand about the fish, and that's what I get excited each and every year to implement different tactics and little things that I got from the year before. And it's definitely a love. It's a love of labor for 100%.
How far in advance should somebody be booking a trip?
I would say, normally I'd say at least 3 months, you know, 2 to 3 months. You want to get into the May, April, May, which I'm pretty much booked, but I have some spots, but you want to get in there 6 months in advance, just open. But that being said, I'm a businessman and fisherman, and there are times in between that
maybe work out.
I don't know. We could work out. Yeah, you can call me last minute. I'll throw you in there. You can call me last second, and I'll throw you on top of the double. And when the fish are biting, they're biting, and it's easy. Everybody's happy, you know. So it's great time. So man, I can't wait to have you out here.
I know, I want to come so bad.
Yeah, and you've been tearing up the surfway. When I see you out there, I'm like, God, that guy's such. That's a talent. I appreciate talent of any magnitude.
Thank you.
Stud, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. David, thank you so much for hopping on again, man. I'm so stoked to talk to you again. You get me psyched every time. Talking about fishing is so fun.
I love talking. I actually get pumped to talk about the fish, as you can see, but I really, you know, you get used to just talking on these podcasts and this whole thing. Sometimes it's early on or nerve-wracking. And now I just love talking. I love fishing, man. Who doesn't love fish? And who doesn't love the salt life? Well, any kind of, if you're not freaking fishing, then at least just be out there surfing, boogie boarding,
swimming.
Soaking up the rays, man.
Doesn't matter.
Swimming. swimming, man. It's just something it does for the brain. And as soon as I get away from it at any time, my body tells me I've been away from it. And it goes, yep. Oh, and then you go and you're, and I don't know if everybody from Salt Life can relate, but when you get on there and you smell that air, it's just, it's a new, you're a new you. You're like, oh, life. Ah, it's wild. Best drug on earth, for sure.
Living the Salt Life, keeping the smile on. It's amazing. David, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming on. And thanks, everybody, for listening in to today's podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Peace. Later, guys.
Thanks for listening in to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Real Salt Life. If you've enjoyed this episode, rate and review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast to help spread the word. And remember, stay salty.